think I'll have.
So with that assumption, welcome back. This is our Dialogues with Gabriel Cousins, Dr. Gabriel Cousins, and myself, Dr. Richard Sachs. And we have a lot to talk about in a short time today. There's meetings in Davos. There's all kinds of developments around the world in Ukraine, and every part of the world is moving. Seeing important things happening. So let's go right to Dr. Gabriel Cousins and see where we're going to start with the focus today. Welcome, Dr. Cousins.
Thank you, Richard. It's always a joy to work with you.
Same here.
So where we start is always with love and peace and spiritual joy. Because if we don't have that, they win. It's as simple as that. The goal of the Illuminati, the one world government, is to enslave people, but people can't be enslaved if they maintain the spiritual joy inside of themselves. Besides other things. Which then allows you to stand up. So that's the way to start, and I'm going to start with a prayer that I usually do, which is the merging of the heavens and earth, the heart and the mind, developing chokmah halev, wisdom of the heart, which is what we need to make it through these times. Hashem yikud kudusha brihu ushinate. Amen. So may we be filled with that spiritual joy and wisdom of the heart. That is so critical to being able to make through, because it won't be forever. That's the good news. But temporary enough. Okay. So like I like to do is we start with a little dance to remember that spiritual joy, and then a little meditation. And the meditation we do is a Kabbalistic meditation. It's Yod and then breath, Hey and that breath, Wah and then breath, Hey and that breath. That's what it is. Okay. And we just keep repeating it until our mind's quiet. In the meantime, I also share a spiritual energy that can help awaken what we call the Kundalini or the Ruach HaKodesh. So after we dance, then you see the energy coming through my eyes. Just feel that for a few, few seconds, and then in the meditation for a few minutes. And here we go. Okay. Okay. Here we go in meditation. And just focus. The old and then breath. And out. Slowly come out of meditation. And we will have a little bit of sharing. Well, not actually sharing so much, but sharing. I'm going to be sharing and Rich will be sharing. We're looking at the world today, you know, and Rich and I kind of talk a little bit, and Doug too. What is it we want to really talk about here? And I think the Davos is a good starting place to begin to understand the situation. If you look at the first few points, you know, a few issues that they bring up, you know, they want to, you know, as Carl Schwab has said in his talk, we have succeeded in penetrating all the, you know, all the main governorships around the world. Governess, meaning the political capitals. Okay, and then Davos has a commitment with the use of sound waves and microchips. They're moving away from sound waves to control people's minds, specifically. But now they've gotten to a place where they can use smart chips to do that, and they're talking now, you know, a little bit in the future of smartphones that have a microchip in it that controls your mind. And then eventually it goes to pills you have to take that contain microchips that basically computerizes your mind. So we are not just talking about a politically controlled world government. We are talking about controlling every aspect of your being, including your soul. Including taking away your soul. Now, let's just think about that for a second. You know, we can talk politics all the time. Yes, it influences your vote. But what about taking away your soul? What kind of governance wants to take away your soul? Now, these are plans, okay? And you can say, well, you're just projecting. No, these are plans. They're written down. They know what they're doing. They know where they're going. And as the technology moves along, you'll see the microchips are just, you know, you'll be putting, they're already doing it actually for in some medical situations to treat cancer and so forth. It sends out a certain frequency to treat the cancer. But think about a microchip that you have to swallow in a pill that's going to influence not only your thinking, but your mind affects your soul affects your mind. And literally, it goes to taking away your soul. Now, that is a little bit hinted in the bioweapon injections. And that very specifically, they talk about, you know, one of the symptoms people have, maybe 40% of the people who get the bioweapon injection, is they lose touch with their soul, they lose touch with God. So we are looking at a much bigger picture than political control. We are looking at a one-world government that wants it to be itself to be God, to be above God, and to separate us from our connection with God. That's totally satanic. There's no way of getting around that. That's totally satanic. Now, would they say we're totally satanic? No, of course not. They're just, we're going to do these programs, and of course it's going to help you because it helps treat diseases, and we'll cut down on aggression, and it will, you know, create peace because you'll all be zombies. That part of the sentence isn't there. But this is what we're facing, and we're facing it not sometime in the future, but very much in the present. Basically, different efforts to separate you from your soul. Now, the strategy that they've talked about at Davos, or, you know, previously to actual Davos meeting, is to use the climate, global warming as an excuse. Of course, they know. They have to know because the data is very clear. We're in global cooling for the last 7 years. There's no question about that. So it's not like they don't know. And these changes are slight. We're not having real global, you know, warming where, you know, you can't grow crops. Although global warming is good for growing crops. Carbon dioxide is good for life. It gives you, combined with water and sunlight, it gives you the chlorophyll the plants need to grow. It gives you the energy that that we eat and then develops ATP. So it's like, this is not bad. And carbon dioxide isn't bad either because it's needed for that process. So, and now they're going after nitrogen. Well, that's about 79% of the atmosphere. So why are they wanting to destroy the atmosphere? Why are they wanting to do these kind of things? Maybe we have to look bigger than something like political control. Why do they want to control people's minds? Maybe we have to look bigger again. Maybe there's even a more sinister agenda that's actually happening that people are, they don't even need to talk about. You know, if they talk about we're bringing Satan in to control the world, that wouldn't be very popular. Well, it's getting more popular because slowly they're working on the conscious to accept that energy. And as you can see, there's conferences, Satan conferences that are public and are open, you know, in different cities and places. So it really is happening. So we see a real shift, you know, in these energies. And what are we supposed to do? Well, we're not supposed to sit around and say, oh, gee, how bad that is. No, we're supposed to be proactive. That's part of the game. We are being tested. Are we going to stand up for God? Are we going to stand up for the truth? That's what we're talking about. It's not convenient to stand up for the truth. Okay, I guess that's an inconvenient truth from a different point of view. even that was a big lie, okay? But it is inconvenient to stand up for the truth, to put it that way. So what we have to do. We have to share. We have to awaken as many people as possible. And that's happening. And that is not exactly what they expected. They really felt people will be a lot more sheepish. But you look at Brazil, and they're being sheepish. I mean, you get caught, you get put in prison, they inject you with the bioweapon injection, only they're really being out front saying, yeah, it's a bioweapon. Guess what? It's a bioweapon. It's going to make you sick. Yeah, it give you COVID. It's going to accelerate getting cancer. You're a prisoner. And it's against all the rules. But the rules don't matter anymore. The governments in charge feel totally free to break the rules. We don't have to be a genius to know what's happening with the January 6th. It's totally against the Constitution. So they feel totally free to break the rules. And, of course, they want to hold the population to the rules, but that's just the political game of the judges and the lawyers and the different things. But the bigger picture is we have to focus on God. We have to focus on love that comes from focusing on God. We have to focus on the peace. We have to have that inner peace so that we can create the outer peace. That's why we meditate. That's why we do the spiritual dancing, because they want to take that away. They want to take that away from you. They want to take your soul away. They want to take your spiritual joy away. And the best thing we can do to get started is to maintain that and share it with as many people as possible. Because you can't defeat a people who has hope. You only defeat and enslave a people when they no longer have hope. So, Richard, you're welcome to come in to comment on some of that as we've been talking about.
Yeah. That's a really, really good summary, Dr. Gabriel, of what's going on. And I think one of the most important things you mentioned there is that we're being tested. All of our beliefs, you know, people have been promoting and fighting about their beliefs and being right for longer than recorded history. And it hasn't changed the cycle of one group killing another and another group coming into power, and then they get deposed by another group. And it's just ongoing murder and ongoing conflict and chaos in the world. And I think what's supposed to happen at this point is we're being given a test. Okay, you've had 200,000 years to develop and talk about what you believe. Now demonstrate, you know, and when you talk about starting with the inner peace and then spreading it, I think that's critical, but there's a difference between spreading it by going out and trying to convince other people, you know, that they should change, which doesn't work and usually backlashes, to becoming something different yourself. And at that point, everybody is affected. So for everybody now, whatever you believe, what's the best you've come to in your understanding of what's true and what your real nature is and where you came from and what God is and all that, you spread what you are, no matter what you say and no matter if you don't say anything. So whatever we've become at this point, that's what we are spreading. And if we want to do better, then that's inner work. And it's time to just do that on a level that hasn't been done before. Not once a week for 10 minutes or something like that. Really become conscious of the emotional and mental field that you're carrying, which is powerful and which is broadcasting to everybody else all the time. And if it's not what you want, the test is how quickly can you change that to what should be there, your normal state that you can share with everybody. So I'm really looking at that too, and I think it's the question, because arguing about issues is not going to be in time to do anything good. What do you think?
Well, we have to go beyond the mind. This is a battle of the heart. And when I talked about wisdom of the heart, Hukmahalab, that's really what we're talking about. We have to have that heart-centered wisdom. Not be in the mind, or not just be in the heart, because they're not totally integrated. The holistic is the heart-centered wisdom. That's what's needed to bring people back in tune with their truth. What we see around the world are pretty crazy things. You know, it's like, how can people act this way? Oh, how can the Nazis act this way? It goes on and on, if you get what I'm saying here. Mm-hmm. It's like people have lost their minds, and we can see it all over the planet. I mean, obviously, you can see it in Brazil, you can see it in the U.S., you can see it in Europe, you know, Ukraine and Russia, and it's like, what's going on here?
I think it's clearly a not just random craziness. I think I would agree with what you said, that this at the top levels, this is a coordinated, globally coordinated satanic agenda, you know. And I don't think, you know, you were saying it's more than global control. Well, yeah, because what I've seen at this point, after decades of really investigating up to the highest human levels and beyond, is that this is a ceremonial sacrifice on the doctrine of sacrifice, which is that you kill an innocent being and God is really happy with you as a result and gives you rewards. And they thought, wow, this is right up our alley. What's the most innocent, all-encompassing being that we can kill that's innocent? Oh, I know, the whole biosphere, with all the humans and life forms in it. And I see that as exactly what's happening. So, you know, there's not going to be anybody left to control here, because the agenda is extermination, 100%. The control phases are the steps, because if you want to get credit for a sacrifice, if you believe in that, you have to follow the steps exactly. And I think that's why they have to give notices, and they have to do the predictive programming, and have to tell people what they're going to do. These are the acceptable steps in the protocol of the sacrifice, and I think we're well into it at this point.
Yeah,
it has to be turned around.
then, you know, just to get full that, is that the globes themselves are sacrificing themselves. That's part of the game with Satan.
Yes, the sacrifice is including them too, including them, because they think they're going to get their reward in the afterlife. They don't need their bodies.
Yeah, but it's against, the whole thing is against God's will. God blew breath into humanity and the Spirit of God came over the planet. And that is what we're fighting for.
Right.
The Spirit of God versus the Spirit of Satan. And I don't want to sound religious. We could say dark forces and forces of light, but it's kind of, that's an older thing. I think it's important to understand there really is a more cosmic struggle. And Richard kind of alluded to off-planet forces. Well, there are off-planet forces. It's pretty clear. There are negative forces, but we need to know they're forces of light. You know, I kind of mentioned before where, you know, Argentina and in Cordova, where I was meditating kind of on this ridge and a place where I knew there was communications going on and with other people, but they contacted me and they basically said just one thing: meditate, create light, and we'll amplify the light.
Right.
And that's it.
On this off-planet issue, you know, there's a distinction which has been important, I think, between off-planet and other dimensional. And I haven't, although there's a lot of talk about it, I don't have any experience or feeling for off-planet dark force at all up to now, but a lot of extra-dimensional off dark force. And I think that's rampant in the world right now. And there's a lot of widespread possession, which I've experienced directly as real, not in myself, but being involved in dealing with people who are in that condition. And I see that as a major factor. But you say, you know, it's important to realize in the middle of this that there's not just darkness. There's forces of light. Well, I think right. It's beyond that. Light is the reality, and darkness is a temporary obscuring of that reality. And it was, sorry. No, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay, so there's a nuance here. The only reality is God, from my point of view. The play of light and dark is part of the reality of God. So I don't want to say that the darkness isn't real. It's there so we can grow spiritually. Right. It's there so we can make a choice to choose the light rather than the darkness. So that's how I kind of look at that picture. Now, I was going to say something else. These forces of light, extraterrestrials, I'm going to call them, mm-hmm. were communicating with me, so it's direct, okay? And they said, you know, we're not, at this point, I got the point, at this point, not allowed to go onto the planet and be in that intense physical form. The forces of darkness have broken the cosmic wall and actually have entered the planetary energetics, is what they said. And I think there's proof of that. But so all that is going on. Now, the extra-dimensional things, which we call Dibuks in Hebrew, but demons and, let's say, entities, not the same thing as a demon, are also coming onto the planet as the portals are opening up. And that's so obvious that even the Catholic Church has set up new areas to help people to cast out demons. They've actually acknowledged everything we're just talking about. They've actually acknowledged and have set up kind of places where people can go to get demons cast out. So it's like, this is kind of a hardcore soft reality. But it's happening. Then you have the extra dimensional issues as well. So it's on multiple levels this is going on. But to me, a demon is it's not actually, I think you're saying it's not extraterrestrial, it's interdimensional. I think that's right, what you just said.
Versus, the darkness, yeah.
Which is the different than extraterrestrials for light, extraterrestrials for darkness, which in my experience do exist. They're different kind of part of the discussion, but they're the continuum. Is it, would you agree with that?
I haven't seen any verification of darkness-oriented extraterrestrials, but I'm not coming across as some kind of authority on anything.
Yeah, I have. I'm sure they exist, just as well as extraterrestrials of the light exist.
Okay.
I was talking to the ones of the light, but I also know the ones of darkness exist.
How do you know that they're not other dimensional taking form?
Because they're in more physical form, that's all.
Because they're what? Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
In more physical form.
Yeah, and see, what I'm saying is that other dimensional beings can take physical form.
Yeah, well, then it becomes, you can't know then.
Right.
Yeah. So when I say extra dimensional, I'm talking more at a different level where entities, demons, and things come through.
Right, right. Okay.
However, to make it more complicated, in the Kabbalistic teachings, in the 130 years that Adam and Hava were separated after the death of Abel, they were having sexual relationships with half, they were kind of separated from each other, and they were in these altered states, and they were having sexual relations with kind of half demons, and a demonic world got created, all of which is being purified since that time. So there is some discussion about some of that being more physical as well.
Yeah, and I have had direct contact with extra dimensional beings that were not friendly. And
I agree. I'm not debating that at all.
So they're around.
Yeah. But there are also physical ones here.
Yeah.
That are not friendly. And there are ones that are friendly. There's a war going on extraterrestrially too. And right. I used in the 1970s, I was paying attention to that. But as we talk about it, we can get caught in all those things. And I know you're not, but we can get caught in all those things. Rather than focusing on what you have to do, focus on the light of God within yourself, focus on love, and focus on harmony and peace. And from that, we humans are create a field that is undefeatable.
Yeah.
A field of God consciousness. I think that's how I've looked at it, rather than getting into the metaphysics of it.
Yeah, I think that's the focus. Because if we sit around and look for other people to do it for us, whether they're human or physical or otherwise, we're blowing away time that we're supposed to be developing ourselves.
No, the message I got from this, no, you're not supposed to wait around. You're supposed to get as many people meditating, focusing on the light, and generating light as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And the potential from that is huge. I mean, essentially unlimited. So, for the dark,
that's good news.
For the dark forces in the world to win, they have to keep us believing that we're helpless.
Yeah. And that's why we dance. That's what the spiritual joy is about. It's a statement. We are not helpless and we're not hopeless.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. What it brings you back to is, yeah, do what you have to physically to defend yourself and others and educate people and spread important information and things like that as appropriate. But your real work is, what are you going to do to change into your highest potential self instead of the limited form that we're doing right now? And then whatever you talk about, no matter what the words are, what you really share is what you've become.
Yes.
So maybe
I just want to hold just a touch. I don't want to get away with the fact that we also have potential. And I look at this as a biblical proof, is that Am Israel were slaves, and some of them lost hope, but they had potential. It was based on that potential that Exodus happened. I'm just going to throw out that God also sees potential in people that can be expressed.
Right, and the potential is so huge in everybody that it's just about beyond description. And I think when you've been talking about what to do practically to develop that and let it out so that you can contribute to the awakening of the world, it's been in mostly two areas: taking care of your physical body and bringing it back to its normal state, which is way better than we remember. And the other one is internal focus and consciousness. And that I would imagine it would be the same message right now in response to what's going on.
Yes, that's exactly right. It's good.
So people say, you know, they're upset and intimidated about what's happening, and Davos meeting that you were going to mention, where all the elites are planning how to do the next step of enslaving humanity and destroying the world. Which, by the way, I hadn't heard, but Doug mentioned that George Soros and Klaus Schwab were planning at the last minute not to go. What that means, I have no clue. But all these things happening and coalescing and energy being shut off and being poisoned by chemtrails and all this stuff, and people say, what do you do other than feel terrified and beaten? You would say these basic things that you should be focused on and developing in yourself. How would you summarize those for people that are being a little bit intimidated by developments in the world at the moment?
Well, first I want to just say a little bit about Davos, a very little.
Yeah.
Their agenda 21, 25, agenda 30, they seem to be moving away from that.
Away from what?
Holding on to those agendas. So there's a shift that's going on, and that's probably what you're talking about. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but they see that the present strategy hasn't worked or isn't working at the level they want. So I just mentioned that because I want people to understand that we are actually winning against enormous odds. It's a David and Goliath show, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's the Maccabees facing the Greco-Syrians. The Greco-Syrians had 12,000, Maccabees had 1,000. They had elephant, you know, tanks, so to speak. Maccabees had nothing, right? And they beat them. That's what's happening now. The spirit of the people will win. So that's kind of how I'm looking at that. Now, what do we have to do to win, which is your question?
Right.
So I'm going to just give people the six foundations. It makes it a little bit easier to get. It's more concrete. First, we got to be healthy. You got to really pay attention to your health, because right now we're talking about vaccinating animals. What does that mean? Any meat you eat is going to be contaminated with, you know, the COVID and everything else that they're putting into it, which I'm not going to go into now. Second, we need to keep dancing for joy and do our yoga and do our exercise and bring that. Third, service and charity. It is so important we help each other. We need to build community. It's extremely important to build like-minded community people, you know, because people need the support so they don't feel isolated. Fourth, we want to, you know, work with others who, let's say, have more experience. You know, don't be afraid of leaders, spiritual leaders and leaders. Fifth, meditate, pray. And sixth, you know, work on the awakening of your spiritual energy. And those are like encapsulate the whole thing. Meditate, pray, service and charity, you know, connection. maintain your health so you have a vehicle that can hold the spiritual energy. Those are the things that make a difference. So that's my little summary. I think it makes it a little concrete for people rather than, you know, just focus on God. Because God is the focus of all six of those foundations. Anything you want to add to it, Richard? Because time is getting short.
Right. I think it's a good summary.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt.
Yeah.
Family. Focus on family. Family connections are very important. Their goal is to separate families. Intimacy, relationship, family, really important. Supporting community, really important. Be aware of the intercultural relationships of all things. I'm just adding those things. And support the environment, knowing we're one with the environment.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the environment's an interesting and really important issue too, like you said. I've been a strong, you might say, environmental promoter since the 1960s, but the way it's being used now is a complete scam. You know, like you mentioned, that we're learning that carbon is evil and nitrogen is evil, and I suppose oxygen is pretty evil too, and things like that. And, you know, it's seeing how much ridiculous nonsense we'll go along with. But I would say that the summary, coming from what you wrapped it up with, is that this is test time, one of the many test times, but it's a big one. And it's, all right, we have to go from belief to demonstrate. And it doesn't mean put on a show or convince other people that you're right no matter what or anything like that. It comes down to be as close to your real self as possible. And, you know, even language is misleading in a lot of ways, because we say, well, these people are out of their minds, and what's really controlling the people who are confused and sold out to evil and things like that is they're totally taken over by programs of the mind. Because if you take those away, you get the reality coming through. And rather than trying to force it away from other people, if you take it out from yourself, all the programs of ego and the nonsense that we try to defend all the time, rather than the universal being that we are and always have been beyond this costume, you come back to that and your influence over everybody else starts to become really powerful, even if you don't say a word. So what have you become? What do you want to become? What can you do with your time now, whatever time you have left in this lifetime, to make the best use of it? So if you were looking back from the end of your life at now and thinking, wow, I wish I would have thought more about that and used the time better, and wishing that God would give you a chance to go back to 2023 all the way back, and God says, okay, and now you're here, what are you going to do? How are you going to use the time? Don't undervalue it. But I just, in support of everything you said.
Okay, so I want to bless everybody that we feel inspired, feel filled with wisdom of the heart, to wake up ourselves even further, and in that process of becoming that awakeness, help awaken the world. And we pass the test. Aho, amen.
Beautiful.
And Doug, and thank you, Richard. Go ahead, Richard.
Thank you, Dr. Cousins. That was perfect. I would just say to wrap up that, again, like I was just mentioning, this is test time. And most of us that are honest, looking at what we've become so far, maybe we're not that completely satisfied with it, to put it mildly. But we're here now. We've got this time. We're all interacting together as one family, or really part of one overall being that's inside of everybody. And look at your thoughts and your emotions, and what, you know, Dr. Cousins is having us do meditation every time we get together, and we're doing the same thing in Planetary Healing Club on Saturday nights. If any of you want to come over and join us there, that's for the consciousness work to bring your attention back in to where you can actually start having the influence you want on what happens for the future of humanity. But I'm saying that those little bits of meditation that we do in Planetary Healing Club or in this show with Dr. Gabriel, they're just a reminder of what you should be doing in the back of your mind all the time. You know, because there have been like famous Christian saints like Augustine, I think it was, that say you should pray without ceasing or meditate without ceasing all the time. Well, the secret is you are. But what are you praying? What are you meditating on? Most of us are carrying around worries all the time, or, you know, what if this happens? And it's not the strategic question or thought that gets in the way. It's the emotion of dread and fear and doubt and all these things that scatter what could be a very strong focused attention on healing. So look at the idea that you're meditating all the time now. And are you meditating on what you want or on what you're worried might happen? And what you're broadcasting in frequency terms on a physical level, though it's not visible, is whatever your emotional state is. And that's been demonstrated over and over again. So what you contribute to the outside world is the emotional state that you broadcast and carry. And this is a chance to become conscious of it, which most of us are not. Start now, become aware, and then make sure that you're sending out to the world and meditating and praying on what you really want to see for the future. You have massive power to create that. It's called imagining, and it means I create. And it was given to you as free will to put your attention where you want. So be cautious what emotional state you carry around and make sure it's what you want to share with the world. And I would say, let's see what we can do with that this week. And we'll see you back here next time and see how much progress we've made with it. This time is important. Use it well. I'll see you soon.